14th chapter of Joshua, these words: "These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands, for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said.' Then Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war." This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, as we come to this chapter in Joshua, we come to the division of the land, and most of the remaining chapters of Joshua, with a few exceptions, are going to be about which tribe gets which piece and where they go and so on and so forth. But notice that it begins with Caleb. We didn't hear anything about Caleb all through the first chapters of Joshua, but he's been there. And he tells us here, he's been there and God was with him. I like this passage. It says, "I'm 85 years old now. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." I wish I could say that when I hit 85. Some of you are saying, "I wish I could have said that when I was 85. 85 years old and I'm still ready for war. I'm going to go out there. But he says, "I trusted in the Lord, I did what the Lord told me," and this is what the Lord had told him. He will receive his promised land. So what we see in this chapter is the beginning of the division and the distribution of the promised land, and we begin with the story of Caleb and his faith in the Lord. And at the beginning of that division of the land, Caleb stands up and he says, against all of the impossible odds that existed, "Give me the land, I will drive them out." It's not only a significant statement, it's a statement of faith. It's a statement of his loyalty to the Lord. Remember, Caleb was one of 2 of the spies that were going into the land 40 years prior, when they went into the land to explore it. You can go back to Numbers chapter 13 and read that story. They went into the land, and remember when they came back, it took 2 people to carry a bunch of grapes. Never would imagine grapes being that big, but I guess They were. Took two people. And they said, this land is full, it's full of milk and honey. It's just wonderful. But first comes the majority report. Almost sounds as bad as a presbytery meeting. Majority report. 10 spies signed on the majority report. And what did they say? We can't go in there. There are giants in the land. They were spooked. They were afraid. And they put Israel into panic and into fear. For them, going into the land would be like one author said, Israel would be like a junior high football team playing against the Dallas Cowboys. Can you imagine a junior high football team against the Dallas Cowboys? They'd have no chance. It spread doubt and fear. If you go back to Numbers 13, it's there. If you look in this passage, it says in our verse 8, the people's heart melted. But there were two who were faithful to the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. They were the minority report. They came and they said, yes, this land is all this, and it's a beautiful land. It has all of these things. But Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now think of saying that after you hear the majority report. We're so afraid. Oh, there are giants in the land. And Caleb stands up in Numbers 13 and he says, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. How could he say that? How could he say that against the majority report, which talked about all of the giants and the problems and so on? Because Caleb was faithful to the Lord. He gave a conscientious report. It was honestly recognizing the enemy's strength. But he says, let us go and possess it. We will overcome it because God said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. He was going on God's report, God's statement. And Caleb spoke out against the faithless cowards that gave the majority report, the 10 unfaithful spies who forgot that Yahweh was with Israel, who knew the power of God to deliver from all things. And Caleb spoke up for the Lord. He was one of two, Joshua and Caleb. Remember now, as we come to this passage, he's not a Johnny come lately. He had faced a few problems in his 85 years, because now 45 years later, he comes to the point where he's going to look for that promise to be fulfilled. He had withstood the enemy. He had battled the enemy with Israel as they entered the land. He had withstood their failures when they conformed and compromised with the followers of the Baal religion, because he believed that when the problems were there, there was something greater than the problem. And the something that's greater than the problem is the promise of God. Yahweh promised in his word time after time after time. We read it 5 times in this passage. He hammers home the point. His request is for nothing but what God had promised him. He's resting on what God said. He's resting on God's promise. He's anchoring himself, his future, in the word of God. That's biblical thinking. That's the kind of thinking that takes the control center of the heart and puts it into a point where it rests in the biblical promises. It moves forward in life with decisions that are made that are resting upon the promise of God. That's how Caleb was thinking. That's how we need to think. That's how we need to live, resting in the promise of God. There were giants in the land, the Anakim. They were real problems. But what did God promise? He promised an inheritance. He had promised them, I will give you the land. The conquering of Canaan was a real problem, but God promised that Israel would receive it. Notice that when God promises that, he doesn't say, because you're so strong mightily, because you have such a big army, which they really didn't. You know, the previous battle, they went up against the one army and it had horses and chariots. They didn't have horses and chariots. When God said you're going to receive the land, it was God's gift to Israel. God made certain that they received it. The walled city of Jericho, was it a real problem? Not for God. God gave it to them, and when they spoke at the command of Joshua, God broke those walls down and the city fell flat and became the gift to Israel. The hill country that Caleb faced in his old age had a lot of problems in it. What were the problems? Well, he mentions it. The Anakim are there, the giants in the land. And it tells us here in our passage that the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. Arba was what? The greatest man among the Anakim. Here was a giant, and that's the land that he was given. Was it a problem? Not for Caleb, because he didn't look at it as a problem. He looked at the promise of God, and he says in verse 12, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day." He remembered that promise from God 45 years prior. He was acting upon the word of God. He was living in faith that the promise of God was all that he needed, that he could move forward with the promise of God, not in the strength of his own ability or the strength of his own faith. You know, sometimes we say, oh, this or that person, they must not have had a great faith. Look, faith is what? Trusting God. And it's not the strength of your faith that's important, but the object of your faith. I'm trusting in God, I'm not trusting in my armor. I'm not trusting in my chariots or my horses. I'm not trusting in my vast army that will defeat the enemy. What Caleb was saying and what Israel should have said over and over again, they did at certain times. We trust in the name of the Lord. That's all you needed. And Caleb rested by faith in a sovereign God. That's how he faced his problems. How do you face your problems? Because each and every one of us has problems. They come to us. They're different kinds of problems. Some are bigger problems. Some are smaller problems. But no matter who we are, problems will come our way. When those things happen, do we immediately cringe and do we immediately have some sad feeling about it? Do we immediately just sort of begin to do what my grandmother would have said, moping? Have you ever been told, stop moping around? I've been told that. You know, stop moping around and get to work. That would have been my grandmother and my mother. What do you do when you get the problem? You don't just turn inward, you turn upward. You learn to speak on the promises of God to your problems. And no matter what they are, God has his means and his promise to you, that your problems are not a problem for him, and your problems may be solved, they may not be solved, whatever God's reasons are, but whatever his reasons are, he's greater than your problem. And we need to be loyal to him like Caleb was loyal, faithful to God like Caleb was loyal in the face of the difficulties that we face, because God's greatest promise to us is that promise that we have received in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't send his son into this world to be the savior because he looked at us and said, oh, that group, they deserve it. He said to Israel, and you can read it in Deuteronomy, the Lord did not choose you because you were greater. The Lord chose you because he loved you. He sets his love upon his people. And he sends his son into this world because he has loved us from eternity, so that we might have a savior who is promised to be the savior of sinners for all who believe in him. And so when we come to God with our problems, We need to say, Lord, you've given me all that I need in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns upon high, but I need your help. Help me in this problem. Help me face it for your glory. Help me face it with a faith like the servants of old, like Caleb in this passage. He was loyal to the Lord and he lived by faith. How did he live? By faith. He lived by leaning on the strength of the Lord. Faith saw him through the battle with the giants. He says in our pass in Numbers 13, we should take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. That was 45 years prior to this passage. What does he say in this passage? I can almost translate it this way. Let me have it. He's still got the desire. He wants that possession and he wants to go into that land of giants and he wants to defeat them because he knows that he will, because he rests in the deliverer. Verse 8 says, I serve the Lord wholeheartedly. All these years, who was the Lord? He delivered his people from Egypt. He delivered his people when they faced the walled city of Jericho. He delivered his people the second battle with Ai when they defeated them completely. He delivers his people, and Caleb is living by faith in the strength of the Lord. And he says, for all of these 45 years, the Lord gets the credit. Verse 10. And now the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said. These 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. He throws in a bit of history here, and he says, the Lord has kept me. He kept me then. He kept me through the wilderness wanderings. Have you ever imagined knowing that you are a part of this assembly of people and come under the judgment of God, and God sends you into the wilderness, and all of your friends are going to die if you're below that age, right? All of them. Caleb had to see all of his friends die. But Caleb was still standing on the promise of God in that wilderness time. And when he comes out of that wilderness time, now they're heading into the land of Canaan. He says in verse 11, he's still as strong today as he was in that day. I'm still amazed at that. He must have had a wonderful exercise program. Whatever it was, he was still as strong as he was. The daily duties as a warrior, he could take care of it. He was still ready to go into battle. You know, can you imagine today? You go to the, you know, where the stores are, they always have these little rooms where they have a guy from the service and he wants to sign you up. Can you imagine an 85-year-old guy walking in to the United States Marine Corps and talks to this young guy about 22 years old, uniform pressed just perfectly, 85 years old, and he says, I want to sign up. I don't know what I'd do. I think I'd kind of laugh. I wouldn't know what to say. That's what Caleb was saying. And he says, I'm still as strong as I was. I've lived by faith in God, and he's kept me to this day, and he trusts God's strength to be his strength. He says, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as the Lord said. Notice he says, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. The Lord helping me, I will drive them out. This is the triumphant sound of faith. This is the sound of faith of one who learns to lean upon God and live that way. Leaning on God's strength to overcome the enemy. Leaning on God's strength to overcome the enemy in battle. This is the life of faith that brings the inheritance and the promises to those who believe in God. You and I are called to be just like Caleb, to lean on God. Leaning on him when it comes to overcoming sin. Comes our way, we sin. How do we face it? How do we deal with sin in our hearts? We need to lean on God. When we fight temptation, how do we fight temptation? We don't have the strength. It's Christ in us, his power, his grace. The struggle against the enemy of our soul, if we would face the enemy ourselves without leaning upon the Lord, what would happen? We'd be defeated in a moment. But how did Jesus defeat the enemy? By leaning upon the word of God. How did the saints of old, like Caleb and Joshua, defeat the enemy? By leaning upon the word of God. And if you find that you are leaning upon the word of God, you've found strength for your battle. You've found the ability to defeat the enemy. You've found a way to overcome temptation. When you lean upon the Lord, you have strength for those difficult moments. That's how Caleb lived and was living to this very day when he speaks these words. And I can just hear him say, "Now give me the land." He's ready. And it was God's time for him to say that. And what happens? All we see is Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. That's it. That's all it says. What a condensation of the battle. Hebron's yours. Go ahead. You can have it. He received the promise. He went into that land and he took it. And you can read later in Joshua where the battle is done and Caleb is victorious. But here we see Joshua, who is leading the people, giving him that blessing, the blessing of the promise of God. Because the blessing comes to those who are obedient to his word. Faith inherits the promise. We come to a man of faith who believed in God, who believed in the word of God, who stands on the word of God, and who says on the basis of the word of God, "Let me do this. Let me do what God wanted for me, what God said he would do for me." He gives the history of that, and he says, "I'm ready to do it." And Joshua blesses him with the land of Hebron. This passage stands over against the unbelief of an entire generation that had just preceded these events where they moved into the land of Canaan. An entire generation that not only wandered in the wilderness, but they died there. They did not enter the land of promise. If you look forward in Scripture to Hebrews chapter 3, you'll see there in Hebrews the third chapter, a warning on the basis of this history, a warning that is spoken in the book of Hebrews that simply says this: do not harden your hearts. Israel had hardened their hearts. The Israel that was wandering in the wilderness, that had been cowered by the majority report of the spies who said that land is filled with giants and scared the people to death. And so they didn't enter the land. They hardened their hearts. What does the New Testament writer say? Don't harden your heart. He comes back to these passages and he rests upon this word of God to warn us and to remind us that faith must rest in the promise of God. God granted Caleb the inheritance he had promised. Joshua blessed Caleb. The inheritance was given as a blessing from God through Joshua. He received that blessing through faith. And through faith, the scripture says, we too receive the promise of God. The scripture simply says, the just shall live by faith. Trust in God will demonstrate itself in everyday life. If we're living for God by trusting him, we'll see that example in our lives as well. God uses this loyalty on the basis of Caleb in his life and his faith to bring about that inheritance, to establish the people in the land. But he's not here just as an example. He is a forerunner of the great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be loyal to God in everything, including death upon the cross. Jesus comes as the great man of faith, who is obedient in all things to God, so that his obedience might then become our victory in Jesus Christ. You see, our inheritance, what we will receive, is bound up with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is about, more so the passage in Hebrews, where it speaks of our rest in the Lord. Caleb was looking further ahead than just Canaan. Caleb was looking forward, I believe, to eternity and to eternal life, because he trusted in the God who made him and who made him to be a child of God. I think that Caleb could have sung with John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, the words that we find in the third stanza of that text. It says this in that great hymn. Think of what it says. The Lord has promised good to me. Isn't that what Caleb was saying? His word my hope secures. Not, I've got enough of an army. Not, I think we can defeat them. Not, I think we can go around and... No. How am I going to defeat them? His word my hope secures. It's a wonderful verse. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. You see, you have to have that third stanza before you get to the last one. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. The last stanza says what? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I love the hymn. I love the words of that third stanza about God's promise and God's word. Caleb had it right. With Caleb, every believer in Jesus Christ can say this: the Lord gives me his promise. He's greater than all the giants. The Lord gives me his strength. He's greater than all of my problems. The Lord gives me his blessing. He is greater than any earthly joy. How should we then live? Like Caleb, man of faith. The just shall live by faith, a faith that rests in Jesus Christ, a faith that rests in a God whose promise is sure and certain, a faith that says, I will serve the Lord wholeheartedly because of his promises to me in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.